Just one game this week, the home draw with Wimbledon. Pete thought it was a suicidal team selection that led to the first goal. Graham Miles thought we looked better set up once Cooney was on for Williams, but we are missing someone that can give us that killer pass. Stuart Grimley agrees with this. We're missing that midfielder that can pick a pass. It was a tough watch. Tom Mayle thought that their goal aside, that was the best half we've played at home for a while, and we should have capitalised whilst on top. Jonathan Ditt thought the first half was better than a frustrating second. Lee was impressive, but a few off days in the Alex side. Steve Day would have taken a point before the match and asks, when did we last have only one outfield academy player finish a game? Neil Hulse calls it a fair result, but that's our automatic dreams quashed. Ben Benson thought crew played well from the goal until half time, but missed some guile or a bit of zip to turn possibles into somethings. David Caldwell thought Rio and Lee were both excellent. He also felt that Cooney made the team look far better when he came on. Andy Griffiths also thought that Lee did well, but the game was littered with poor balls when conditions weren't ideal. Adam Turner wants to praise Cooney. We were really struggling down both wings, but that went away when he came on and Rio moved over. James agrees that Rio was brilliant and Cooney had his best game in a crew shirt, but it was 2 points dropped as Wimbledon were there for the taking. Chris Mason thought that we had enough of the ball but didn't do enough with it, adding that Kirk strutted around like an exhibition match. James thought only Bell and Dicker couldn't see that Kirk needed bringing off 20 minutes earlier than he did. Paul Gregory thinks that's the second game in a row where we've been struggling in the second half, but no subs till late on. Hard to watch, that was. Alex Elliott agrees. A point handed to Wimbledon in a game we were in full control of, due to Bell failing to make changes and letting the game fizzle out. John Dickinson thought the subs were too late, but adds the draw was the fair result. Josie agrees with the subs and result, but wants us to stop shoehorning Williams into the team. Keith is wondering just what has Billington done, adds that service to Nevitt was non-existent. Alex Smith says whatever has happened to Billington needs explaining or forgiving. Trevor Griffiths believes we are missing a crew-type midfielder that can open up a side. Overall, we just needed a bit of extra quality to get the 3 points. Hello and welcome back to the latest episode of the Railway Men podcast. To help us go through the draw against Wimbledon, our panel today is Tim Robinson. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Stu. Hi, guys.
Henry Lewis. Hello, Henry.
Hi, Stu. Hi, everyone.
And Steve Davis. Hello, Steve.
Morning, Stu. Morning, everyone.
Steve, I'll start with you, if I can. Team sheet on Saturday's game came out the return of Chris Long. Broadly a good thing?
Yes, bit of positive news. He was never obviously going to start, but we all know what he's like with injuries. So it's a case of giving him some minutes, I think. If the season's going to be extended, we're going to need him. So that was probably the positive news from the team sheet. And also Lewis Lee as well. I know you're probably going to go into that, but I think he was well overdue a start. So seeing those two on the team sheet was good.
Yeah, Henry, that was going to be my next question. Happy with Lewis Lee getting his first opportunity to start a game?
Quite indifferent, to be honest. I've not, from what I've seen of him, it's been kind of little bits and bobs coming off the bench. So I'm not 100% the sort of player that he is yet. Having seen him yesterday, got a much better idea. But to me, he was kind of the sort of player that gets tackles in and breaks the play up. And to me, it's like we've kind of got Connor Thomas there. I would prefer to see someone who I consider to have better passing skills, better delivery, but also I didn't mind it. I wasn't completely against it. You know, it felt like we were at least setting up to try and have a strong engine in midfield who could really sort of take the game to the opposition.
Tim, the game starts, and just like last week, it's a bit of a woeful start, and crew find themselves a goal down. I mean, even earlier this week than last week.
Yeah, and it was a bit of a shocker. I think the first thing to say is the conditions were atrocious. Whenever the ball wasn't on the deck, it was swirling around because the wind was super strong. And whenever it was on the deck, it was bubbling like crazy because I think because it's been windy the last few days, the pitch has dried out really fast. So we've gone from a horrible wet boggy mess to a dry bumpy mess in pretty quick time. So it was just really, really difficult conditions, and the goal came from there was two sort of swirling high balls down the right hand side by the main stand, and we really sort of struggled to deal with it. And what happened was it basically drew up pretty much the whole of our defensive side of the team over to the right hand side. I mean, I think we had Dimitrio, Turns, Adebisi, Osterfield, and Connor Thomas all within about a yard of each other. I mean, you could have thrown a flannel over them, and somehow they don't manage to deal with it, and the ball comes out, and their fella Gordon, who was a real menace for the opening sort of 5 or 10 minutes. He just spots that there's a gaping chasm in the middle of our defence and makes a run, and the ball comes to him. And to be honest, it's a fairly tidy, if probably quite straightforward, finish for him because it's just a massive gap for him to run into. So it was very poor from us. And I actually think the other person, even though it came from the right, that shouldn't get away scot-free for that goal is Zach Williams, because when your two centre halves are out of position, your fullback on the opposite side has got to come into that void and fill it. And he doesn't, he just stays out wide left. I mean, to be fair, there is a player, their right midfielder is out there, so there is a man, but the biggest danger is the one on your penalty spot, right? So he should have been right across and filled that gap. So yeah, 90 seconds, 1-0, absolutely shocking start.
I'm just going to park the Zach Williams chat for a second because I feel like we might come back to it in a minute or two. Henry, my perception of this was if we were going to beat Wimbledon on Saturday, it was going to be a nervy 1-0 win or something like that. They don't score as many goals as the teams they're around. They don't concede as many goals as the teams they're around. So it was a really, really bad way to sort of look to bounce back from the MK game last week, I thought.
Yeah, it was. And I think as well, after losing the way that we did last week, it was clear that this was all of a sudden a really, really important game. Obviously, it's fifth against sixth. It's kind of trying to get back on track after fifth against seventh, sorry, trying to get back on track, against a decent team, but a team that we definitely think that we can be beating at home. And to almost feel like we've like thrown it away after 90 seconds. It's so disappointing. And obviously the build up to the game, you look at the team sheet and it's not bad. Like Long's back in the team, think, oh, we can really kick on today and get a good result. And then, it was scandalous really how easy it was for them to score. And to be honest, I was really concerned. I was thinking if that's how easy it is for them to get one, then we could be in for a terrible afternoon here. But it didn't actually turn out to be that bad at all. I think it was poor. I think, like Tim said as well, the weather did weirdly play a part in it. And it is strange. I don't know how you guys feel, but when I go to a crew game and the weather is a bit like that, when it's like swirling winds and it's not quite spot on conditions, I always do fear the worst that we somehow can't seem to play well in those kind of conditions and that we struggle. And it's so bizarre, but you kind of knew as you were walking into the ground, like we're going to struggle today just because it's windy. It's really bizarre. But yeah, it was disappointing. I did believe though that obviously the goal came early enough. There was still positivity in that we've still got 89 more minutes to make this right. And obviously it didn't take that long for us to make it right.
Just before we move on to the goal, though, it's worth saying that if it wasn't for two Ed Turns blocks immediately after the goal, I think the same guy, Gordon, had two other chances, and Turns basically had to dive in and block what would have been certain goals. So we could have been 3-0 down, and that guy could have had a hat trick in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, we were on the ropes big time, weren't we? From the very, very beginning.
Yeah, it was not an impressive 10 minutes or so. Steve, I said I was going to park the Zach Williams chat. Are you confident to tell us what you thought went wrong with him yesterday? Because it was not an impressive 20, 25 minutes or so.
If I'm being kind, he wasn't at the races. I think that was abundantly clear. If I'm being honest, he was shite. That you've got to tell out is the was it Gordon that was on that side? There was a, I think it was the winger.
Yeah,
he had him on toast. Hey, look, he's quick, but he didn't. When he came off, he didn't look well. Now I don't know whether he was unwell, whether he was injured. There's obviously a lot of chat about him on the socials and stuff like that, but he wasn't at it. And it's frustrating because before the Harrogate injury, he looked like he was back to his best, but since then, it's like we're trying to shoehorn him into the team. There's a whole different conversation, but I think we're going to play a back four. You'd play Rio in his natural position, and then you're choosing one out of Billow and Cooney. To be fair, I probably won't talk about it. I thought he had a good game yesterday when he came on Cooney. But yeah, he seems to have gone. Zach has seems to have gone backwards since the Harrogate injury, and we're not really in the sort of part of the season where we can shoehorn him in and afford passengers. Really, like if he's injured, then so be it. But yeah, I don't think he should have started just today, if I'm honest.
I think the problem with Zach is his best position is probably Mickey Dimitriou's position. And if there's one player that we're certainly not leaving out for Zach Williams at the moment, it's Mickey Dimitriou. So that means he probably has to play left back or left wing back. And I don't think either of those situations are ideal.
Do you think, this just comes to me, do you think he plays him? Because if we need to switch to a three, then the three would be turns Mickey and Zach. Is that, could that be a reason why he's starting in case we do need to go down that road again?
I think a big part of the reason that he signs him is that there's obviously a player in there, and I think that player needs a run of games. And the place where he probably needs a run of games is left-sided centre-half, but he's never going to play there. So I think he ends up, either we change the system to accommodate him, or he ends up playing in a position that isn't his best. And I think you're absolutely right. Our best two fullbacks are Rio Adebisi and one of Cooney and Billow. Personally, I'd go Billow, but I can see why you would go with Cooney. Sometimes he's shown glimpses this season that he's a good player as well. I don't think Williams is a left back. I think his best position is left of a three, or if you're going to play a back four, then it's the left of the two.
The shuffle at the back in recent weeks is killing us. It really is. Like the Sutton game was the same. You know, Rio playing on the right hand side is just it's just not working. I've had so much confidence in Bell all season, and I'm sitting there at the minute like I can't understand what on earth is going on. But Rio's at right back. Every time the ball gets played out to him, he wants to take it on his left. He can't. His body's in the wrong position, so he keeps missing the ball. It keeps going past him because he doesn't feel natural receiving the ball. Then when he has got it, you know, he can't get across in as quickly as he'd like to. I just can't understand how someone that's been arguably our best player all season has now switched to the other side where he's clearly not comfortable. And it's to the detriment of the team. Like, we just don't look the same team at all. And we've got two, you know, decent right backs. Billington is definitely better for me. Cooney doesn't start well enough. As he proved yesterday, he can come off the bench and do a great job. But why on earth we're not just playing with Billington right back and Adebisi left back? I just can't understand it. You know, I get that Zach Williams is a good player and that, yeah, he needs games, but is now really the time to be trying that when, you know, we're fighting for promotion? We've had a formula that's worked for us all season. It just seems to be, you know, it seems like self-sabotage by Bell to not play those players in their best positions.
Rio at right-back isn't the issue. Rio is a perfectly good right-back, even though it's his wrong side. The issue with playing Rio right-back is he's our best left-back by miles, and we don't have another left-back, but we do have other right-backs. So it's really strange. I mean, I guess the positive news is that if Williams is out for a couple of games now, then his hands are tied. So,
yeah, I think that was the point I was going to make, Tim. You know, replacing Rio the left back with Rio the right back is an excellent to very good player to an average player. He's not bad, but he's definitely not our best player out there, which he is sometimes as left back. Ryan Cooney came on for Zach Williams. Henry, is it time for the internet to start asking what has happened to Kate Billington?
Yeah, mate, I thought exactly the same thing myself, honestly. Yes, it really is. What has happened? It's bizarre. And the noise is getting louder, isn't it? The noise is getting louder. People are starting to ask questions. Is there a fallout? Is he injured? Is he an AI image that we're just like trying to work out if he's real or not? It's very, very strange. I don't understand why he's been dropped. He was playing so well. We were coming onto this podcast and talking about how he was, the new player that we're all, absolutely buzzing to see break into the team, and now he can't, he can't even get off the bench. I really, really can't understand it. I don't know what's gone on. Someone has asked for Graham McGarry to ask about him, in his next interview with Lee Bell, which is good. I think we need answers. Why is he not playing? He's been a really good part of our team, for the last couple of months. And as we spoke about before, him being so good at right back and Rio being so good at left back has really aided this team. And it can't be a coincidence that we're struggling to score. We're struggling to get balls into the box as well as we did do it in the early part of the season because we don't have the players to do it. But to be fair on Cooney, his delivery was absolutely excellent yesterday. He was the best crosser of the ball by far all day. And he wanted to do it. Every time he got the ball, he looked to go forward, beat his man, and get a ball into the box. And you have to commend him for that. His defending was fine. He didn't have a lot to do. I don't think he was tested all that much, which is a relief. But in terms of his offensive work, Cooney was excellent. He really was.
There was a period in the first half after we equalised, and when we'd swapped the fullbacks up when Williams went off, where we were absolutely killing them around the outside. Both sides, Rio was get overlapping, Cooney was overlapping, and we were putting balls into the box. We were creating overloads. We were 2-on-1 because against their wing backs, we were forcing their wing backs to be fifth defenders rather than fifth midfielders, and they just couldn't deal with us at all. I don't know why, but in the second half we just didn't keep doing it. We just tried to go long or play through the middle, and it brought them back into the game.
Yeah, let's talk about the goal. Steve, you get a free kick on the left-hand side. Everyone thinks Lewis Lee's going to put it into the box, but that's not what happens.
It was a first and foremost. I actually turned to my brother when he gave the foul away. I said, "What a stupid foul to give away!" Because it was, I think Kirk had laid the ball off, and the guy just went through him. So, that was also would be fuming, but hey, I don't think it was a Kenny sort of Kenny Hunt idea, but it was a well-worked free kick, and he found himself in a good bit of space for Rio. And when I watched from where we were sitting, it looked like it went in the top corner, but I watched it this morning, and probably argued the keeper could have done better, but hey, it was a good goal, and we'd actually played well after we conceded. I thought we were actually very positive. Like there was a lot of hard running in that yesterday, and there was a lot of probably progression of the football a lot better than we've seen in recent weeks. So I was after the first 5 minutes of calamity, and you could argue that it's once we've gone back to Rio at left back and a proper right back, but we actually looked a decent side for the first half yesterday. I stood up and clapped them off at half time because I think they were positive. They were trying to do the right thing. Shiloh was knocking on the door down the right, and obviously Kirk down the left. And it's easy to say now in hindsight, but I think if we would have got one in the second half, I think we would have gone on to win it. But sorry, one in the first half, we would have gone on to win it. But yeah, it wasn't to be.
I thought that was our best after I think the change for Cooney for Williams. I thought that was our best half of football for quite a few weeks, to be honest with you. I thought that was us showing the form that had got us up to where we were. And I haven't seen that for a while. I know the guys that were on last week with me, they were quite happy with the second half at MK. I was less so, but I thought that first half after the change was superb yesterday. And I did expect us, like you said, to kick on and take the game to them second half. Henry, that isn't really what happened, though, unfortunately.
No, you're right in terms of the football. The good thing is we're getting the ball down, we're playing nice football, we're getting it out wide, we're playing triangles, beating men, all that really, really good stuff that we love to see from a crew team. But I can't remember their goalie having to really do anything, and that's a huge issue. The problem that I'm finding is that we're building up quite nicely, or we're intercepting in the midfield. Players like Thomas, players like Lee, they're doing that bit really well. They're getting the ball back, but then the pass is just so poor at the moment. We can't get it right. balls are going too far, they're going out of play, or you know the opposite is happening where they're just a bit too short. And there was a couple for Kirk yesterday. I mean, Kirk was an interesting one. There was times where he was frustrating me so much because he was hanging out wide and he was expecting the ball to come to him rather than trying to receive it. But then the flip of that was he wasn't getting the right ball over to him. So there was an occasion where him and Shiloh broke together in the second half. Shiloh had to put it across for him, but he underhit it ever so slightly. So Kirk then has to turn into trouble. Or, you know, Rio's looked to play a ball over the top, but it's gone out of play. And that was the story of yesterday completely. We did well until we got into the final third, and then the ball just wasn't right. And their goalie had a pretty quiet afternoon. You know, the only other chance that I can think of is the one that came from the corner where sort of Mickey glanced it. It looked like it could have gone in without Thomas putting it over, which was very frustrating. But it seemed like we were probably only going to score from a set piece yesterday because the link-up play just wasn't good enough. There's obviously a bigger conversation about Kirk. I think the noise is starting to build a little bit because obviously he's played a few games now. You know, he's not scored yet. And I don't know whether yesterday he was affecting things positively or not. You know, he did some nice things, but I can't really get on board with him kind of throwing his arms up and giving grief to the other players. I think he you know, he gave Osterfield such a bollocking, and I don't think that did Osterfield any good whatsoever. I'm kind of unsure with Kirk at the moment. I think it was Mark that said a while ago when he was joining that he was a bit unsure whether it was a good thing. You know, obviously most of us were kind of losing our heads with excitement. And yesterday when I was watching it, I actually started to realise, you know, what Mark had been saying, which was he might affect things negatively if we're not careful. You know, it's quite a well-balanced group. And all of a sudden, they don't seem to look as close to each other. Like, even Turns is kind of giving people grief. And I don't know, it's a little bit worrying. And these frustrating passes are only adding to that, really.
It's a fair shout, isn't it? And if you look at his numbers, is it one assist? I don't even think that counted, did it? For Nev's goal against Morecambe. So he's not producing the numbers that certainly we would have hoped. Let's not get away from it. He's still a brilliant footballer. There is a footballer in there. It just hasn't worked for him for whatever reason. Whether he needs a goal, whether he needs an assist, I don't know. But it is, I think frustrating is probably the right word. In terms of the balance of the side, in terms of the makeup of the squad, he's one of the older guys in there now, as new as he is. And I didn't actually say it, but he shouldn't be I don't think he should be going around bollocking Osterfield or anyone for that matter. The younger lad's probably going to look up to him as a leader. He's, you know, he's played over, well, quite easily over 100 league games. We're still a fairly young squad. People should be looking up to him. Don't know, it just feels like he needs something. Like I say, whether it's a goal, an assist, I don't know, but he just, there was a time yesterday, I think he cut in. He did something on the far side and he cut in and his shot was way wide. And I don't know, he's expecting more. But are we expecting more because his name's Charlie Kirk? I don't know. Ultimately, I think when Long's back fit, then that's a different conversation, isn't it? Does he start? Probably not, if I'm honest.
I think with Kirk, we've got to remember what sort of player he is. You know, he's not one that's going to start diving into 50-50s and booting people up in the air. He's never been that player. And I thought there were some positive signs yesterday. I thought there were some signs that he was getting up to speed. There was a couple of times where he ran at his man. And the old Kirk would have dropped the shoulder and gone outside and crossed it or gone inside and hit it. And he's maybe not quite there yet, but I think he's not far off. And I thought there was some lovely little link up with Rio down the left. But I just kind of feel we've got to just kind of give him a little bit of leeway that we might not necessarily give to some other players. And I know people will say, like, well, you shouldn't. Everyone should be treated the same. But I don't think, especially with him, people shouting, tackle and get stuck in, Kirk, is going to do him any favours. And ultimately, I don't think it's going to do the team any favours. I think we've just got to appreciate what he brings to the team, accept what he isn't capable of doing, and just support him, even though if it was anyone else, you'd be screaming at him. Because ultimately, a confident Charlie Kirk is going to be a real asset down the running, especially once he's got a bit of sun on his back. You know, he's one of them players that doesn't like playing in conditions like we had yesterday, but give him a lovely summer pitch and 20 degrees and you know, the ball pinging around all over the place. That's his sort of game. So, you know, we're into spring now, although it really didn't feel like it on Saturday. We will see some really good stuff from Charlie Kirk between now and the end of the season, and we just need to keep with him. But just on what Henry said around the final pass yesterday, he's absolutely bang on. We actually played some nice stuff up until the final third, but the decision making, the final ball, the final cross, when to shoot, when to pass, it was pretty poor yesterday. I think part of that is maybe just a little bit of a lack of confidence for some players. And then just going back to the conditions, they were atrocious.
On the final pass, I think you're probably right. The whole place is a bit nervy at the minute, I think. Everyone can sense that. And there's lots of reasons for that. But and I've said this many a time on the podcast before, like, you can tell when there's not a Crew Alexander midfielder in the midfield. And as good as Lewis Lee was with his energy yesterday, as good as Osterfield is with his long legs, he gets his foot in. And Conor Thomas is neat and tidy. They're not Crew midfielders. And it's no coincidence since Offord's out, I think we've won two games. One was against Notts County, who were bang out of form, and the other one was against bottom of the league. So we are crying out for Crew midfielders. So hopefully, and it might turn in our favour come the run-in, if we can get Matthias back, if we can get Tabs back for those final few games, then that might help unlock the door. Because yeah, Tim's right, like they say, Tim and Henry are both right. The final passes today killed us. Nev didn't have a sniff, did he? Let's be honest. You could have put Stu up front and he would have got the same sort of service. So but yeah, we're crying out desperately for a Crew midfielder, I think.
To be honest, I was surprised that Rowe didn't come on earlier because in the Sutton game, the only person that was able to thread a perfect pass was Rowe, and it resulted in the goal that we scored. And I was convinced that at probably about the 75th minute that we'd see Rowe come on, and he to me seemed like the best option to unlock the door yesterday. I was happy to see Chris Long come back on, but to me it just seemed like it was a really, really good opportunity for Rowe to really take it to them. And I think Shiloh had done a good job. And Shiloh did what Shiloh does, which is looks pretty positive, takes his man on, beats a man, but then gets the final ball wrong. And it just seemed to me that it was a really good opportunity to try something new, put Aaron Rowe on, and let him, just have a different approach to it. I was really surprised. I was a bit disappointed really yesterday with Bell, and I've not said that really at all season, but. Yeah, I'm starting to question some of the decisions recently. I don't know whether he's kind of feeling the pressure a little bit and is maybe overthinking it a little bit. Obviously, as you say, we are missing some really, really key players. I think Offord being out has just affected us so much more than I think any of us really realised. Turns obviously came in and we were like, oh, we're sound, we're absolutely fine here. And now, it's coming to the crunch and we really could do with those key players back. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like you have to give Bell plenty of leeway because he's obviously been brilliant all season. But the last few games, it's a little bit tricky to understand his perspective and some of the decisions that he's making.
It
But yeah.
felt a little bit to me like not making the changes was was settling for a point. It was almost like there was a fear to rock the boat in case he made a change and then they won. Now, Graham McGarry asked him in the post-match interview, did you settle for a point yesterday? And he was like, no, we want to win these games. We definitely were still going for the win. But I kind of think if that's true and you're going for the win, why are you bringing Rowan in the 90th minute? Why are you not rolling the dice with 20 minutes to go? You know, if we'd have won yesterday, we'd still have been very much in the automatic promotion picture. Whereas I think the point that we got pretty much, I'm stealing all Stu's questions here. The point that we got, it probably consolidates our place in the playoffs. I think it's going to take a real fall off for us not to get into the playoffs from here. I think we probably need 5 or 6 points more points, and that'll be enough. So that point is actually a decent point in that context yesterday. But if we'd have got 3 points yesterday, if we'd have rolled the dice and it had come off and we'd have won, we'd still be looking at the top three.
I think, and sorry, Stu, I know you've probably got a lot of questions. I think his post-match yesterday was very interesting, his wording. I know there's a bit about someone toeing the line, which I'm sure we might come on to, but he used the words ticking the games off. And to me, I don't want to be coming around digging him out because no one expected us to be where we are. And what are we, the 24th of March? No one expected us to be where we are come August. So, you know, you've got to tip your cap. But I think, is he settling for playoffs? Is he? He's an experienced manager. It's his first year in the job. And we seem to forget that. He is going to make mistakes. Naturally, the pressure is going to get to him. If you look at the three managers in the top three, Clough, Challoner and Parkinson, they've all done the hard yards. They've all, you know, recently got promoted or been promoted and stuff like that. So he is new. He's a new manager. He's going to make mistakes. But I do think, and it's not a criticism, I do think it probably is getting to him, maybe getting to the staff as well. I'd say with the wording of there's another game ticked off. It's almost like we're sort of hanging on to getting the playoffs. And I don't necessarily feel that great about that. Yeah, I just think that's where the mentality is at the moment with maybe the management staff. And it goes back into that, you know, if we're looking for a playoff place, it's a good point because Wimbledon have kept at arm's length, but we roll the dice. And you know what? If we'd won one of the Doncaster or MK games, maybe we would have rolled the dice. But I think I get the feeling that they're just settling for the playoffs at the minute, which is dangerous because ultimately it could bite us on the arse.
I agree. I think that with some of the news that came out with the players that are, you know, 4 to 5 weeks away, it does feel that it's like, right then, let's dig in now. Let's just make sure we don't fall out of the playoffs. And then, you know, we'll have these players back for the playoffs and everything will be rosy. But as we're seeing, we'll get one player back and then someone else will go, you know, like we thought we had Tabs back and now he's gone for 4 or 5 weeks again. You know, we've got Long back, but in his place, CBR is now on the treatment table, and it's just I don't think the management team are looking at it like that. But we can't approach it like that at all. But it, I don't know. As fans, I know that I'm starting to feel like that now. Where it was only like 2 weeks ago, I was like, autos are definitely still on. We can definitely still get this. And now I'm starting to look downwards instead of upwards, and just seeing how close other teams are now getting to us. You know, we've been up here all season pretty much now, and yeah, to kind of bottle it at this stage would be awful. And that's now starting to creep into my mind, so it must be creeping into the players and the manager's mind as well.
We're not gonna bottle it from here. There's no chance. I'll put that on the record. Playoffs is done and dusted. We're in. But the danger is with the playoffs, if you're serious about going up, you can't fall into them. You've
No,
got
I
to come
agree.
into them with some momentum. You can't go into the playoffs having 1-1 in 12 and expect to then beat some informed team over two legs and then some other informed team at Wembley. You've got to take some momentum in there with you. So look, I know if we'd have rolled the dice yesterday and lost, then it's a different scenario, and a point in that context is all right. But it's better to win one and lose one than to draw two. So we need to be a bit more positive, I think, and I'd like to have seen a bit of positivity from the top yesterday. It might have backfired, it might not, but we're here to see goals and see wins, and I just thought we could have been a bit more positive, rolled the dice a little bit, rather than just kind of sitting back and being a bit timid about it.
Yeah, I got home last night and watched Stockport or a bit of Stockport and took me back to that Tuesday night. And them days just seem a bit far away at the minute, like getting any sort of win. Yes, we beat Sutton. And in context, that was a good win because it was a horrible game. But during the heady months of January and February, we were comfortable. We were winning comfortable games and we looked really good. And I don't know, it's just this nagging doubt that a win just seems so far away at the minute. I know it probably sounds a bit dramatic considering where we are, but yeah, it's a bit tough.
It does, and yesterday was there for the taking because Wimbledon were not that good. They were not very good, especially in the, in towards the end of the first half and a lot of the second half. I didn't ever really get that feeling up until maybe the last sort of 10 minutes where, these can beat us. I didn't feel like that. I felt like if anyone was going to win the game, it was going to be us. And, we missed that chance with Mickey from the corner, and that came and went. I did think that's probably it. We've probably blown it, but. We could easily have taken that game to them. The amount of openings that we had, and we did look pretty good on the counter attack up until it got towards their box, and it was it feels like we've started to drop back into that feeling of last season where it's like how are we going to get more than one goal in a game, which is worrying, and we have got the personnel, we've got the personnel there to do it. That's what's confusing. We've got much better players, and as we were talking about before, we've got Charlie Kirk in there. Surely, he's going to be contributing. And I do feel as though he is that just one goal away from then maybe going on a bit of a run until the end of the season. And that could end up being the difference of what gives us that momentum, to then go into the playoffs feeling confident with a player who's fit and firing. Because if Kirk comes good, we're going to feel very, very confident that we can beat anyone.
Right, I am still here. I think that was maybe a record of me sitting and listening. All my questions have been answered, guys. I didn't ask any of them, but you've talked through them. The only one that I don't think we've really touched on, we'll do quickly now. Steve, I would have played Billington when Williams went off, but I did think Ryan Cooney played quite well when he came on yesterday.
Yeah, it was they were all positive, and after that conversation, it sounds a bit sort of despondent, but they actually, for the first half today, they were fine, and Cooney will always be all right going forward. I've got no concerns over that. It's obviously, and Henry touched on it, the early parts of the games when he's going backwards, he looks like a fish up a tree. So, yeah. Hey, look, let's have the conversation. Where is Billow? Yeah, he's in my starting 11, Billow. Now, whether Bell took him out, he was at fault for the first Morecambe goal. Granted, it wasn't the reason we lost the game. So whether he's Dario used to take players out, young players out to give them a rest. So maybe he's using that tactic. But for me, Billow should be starting, however good Ryan Cooney was yesterday going forward.
I just want to talk a bit more about Rio. I know we've mentioned him for the goal. I thought he was superb yesterday. I thought he was the one player that didn't really make any bad decisions. I thought especially once he moved to the left, he was a threat going forward. He was brilliant defensively. There were a couple of times there, right wing back ran at him and he just went, "Thank you, I'll have that," and took it off his toes like a dad taking the ball off his son in the back garden. And there was one bit in the second half right in front of us where it was worth the admission money alone. He got the ball off Kirk and he ran at the right back and he just put him on the floor with a little wiggle of his behind. It was delightful. A great cross in as well, and they did well to defend it. And I think with Rio, he's probably been our most consistent player this season, despite the fact that he's played in a variety of different positions. And I think he's probably, I mean, he was man of the match for me by a country mile yesterday. And I think he's the one player, I think you could drop him into a top half League One side and he'd be fine. So yeah, just a shout out to him. I thought he was brilliant. He did say in his, when he was getting the man of the match award in the suite or the lounge or whatever it's called, he described his goal as top bins, which I'm not sure I totally agree with. But other than that, I thought he had a fantastic day.
All right, I'm going to leave it there then on that note of positivity towards Rio. Next, we'll have a little look at the Gillingham game coming up on Friday. But first, we'll hear from the women's team, who were back in league action away at Fleetwood on Sunday.
So, Matt, 2-0 loss up at Fleetwood. How do you feel the game went?
I mean, we got out of the game what we deserved, really. We were poor, very poor. Marginal improvement in the second half. But overall, it wasn't a great game. Very scrappy. Struggled to create any momentum. and just didn't deal with two poor goals conceded. It's a tough one to take because we've played Fleetwood twice already this season, League and Cup, and they've been intense, good games. But today, both teams probably struggled. I don't know whether Dave will agree with that from Fleetwood, but yeah, we're disappointed with our performance, and I don't think we can realistically say we deserved anything out of the game.
Okay, I know we conceded another goal from a set piece, so after the two that happened at against Cheadle, that must be something that's probably annoyed you a little bit.
It's not just the two at Cheadle. Again, we probably need to look at the statistics behind that, and because it feels like a large portion of our goals conceded are coming from not just set pieces, not free kicks, but actually corners. Are we dealing with those cross balls correctly? Are people taking responsibility? We can do it so well a number of times and then one time just shut down. Whether that's a mentality thing, it's certainly not knowledge. We work on it, we have worked on it. But obviously, in those moments, it only takes one lapse in concentration. It was a poor goal to concede, and that puts you on the back foot.
It does. On the bright side, I thought the changes you made at half-time, certainly with Emily Cole on 10, I thought was... she attracted a lot of attention, attracted a number of quite heavy tackles. I thought she played really well.
Yeah, I mean, Em's obviously a big player for us, and, you know, we shifted things around a little bit, and we're all about creating opportunities for players, but it was obvious when things weren't working that Em would come on. It was where was the right fit for her. The first thing you think of was 9. We wasn't quite sticking there. And then the beauty of having the coaches we have is that we talk, we communicate, and we said that we felt like it wasn't sticking there, so the first person you think of is Mand. Mand has to play there. So So by thinking Emily's coming on, you've already brought another sub on because you're thinking, well, you want to bring Emily on, but you're bringing her on for the wrong reasons. She's not going to go in and solve that problem. So you bring Mand on, and then you're like, right, so we need someone to play off Mand now, and then that decision's made for you. Em comes in at 10, and we felt like we got some initial joy out of that. It was working a little bit in the second half. If it was going to happen, it was probably going to be from that method. But even then, it was probably still clutching at straws because things were breaking down around them to a degree where it was always going to probably be a Fleetwood mistake, a bit like ours, really, that would create a goal rather than us carving them open.
Yeah, okay. I thought both teams. I thought we took a bit longer to adjust to playing on grass. I know you always say that you should learn to you should be able to play on every pitch, but with fewer clubs in this league playing on grass, is that a problem going forward?
Well, it's not a problem. It can't be a problem. Football's always been played on grass. Mm. It's natural. You know what I mean? That you're going to become more accustomed to AstroTurf if, you know, you mainly play train on AstroTurf. Mm. We're not soft. I know that we will play better football on AstroTurf than grass because we train and play on grass, like on AstroTurf, like I say. I don't think it was the grass that did that today. I think it was the way we approached the game, maybe. The intensity around it, the leadership, the communication was way off. Obviously, it's still raw at the moment. We'd have to go away and assess it and talk about it and watch the footage back. But no, that won the grass today. We can't say that.
Fair enough. So that's our last away game of the season, isn't it? Unless there's, we'll see what the cup draw brings. But back to Shavington next week. We've got Blackpool. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, I know the girls are really hungry to try and put that right. They feel the pain in there. You know, we've not given them any messages that they don't know themselves. In fact, the messages have been quite short. You know, the leaders in the group have said that's not acceptable and that wasn't good enough today, and that to quote one player, we don't really want to remember that performance today, we have to move on. And that's all you can hope for is you know, in football, the irony is that that's probably our only bad performance of the season for 90 minutes. We had bad moments, but that's our only bad game of the season. And then you start questioning then, what about the games where we were pretty good and we come away with a draw? Well, those games we drew that we should have won. And then, you know, you're naive and stupid if you go into a season thinking that you're not going to have that bad game. And for me, as I recall, that's our only bad game. But there's a depression about it, there's a down to it, because we've not been winning games that we've been drawing.
Okay, Matt, thanks very much.
Cheers. Cheers, Sean.
Okay, Henry, Friday, Good Friday, Caesars travelling down to Kent to play Gillingham. Thoughts on the game?
Gillingham are, yeah, they're going to be a tough opposition, aren't they? Let's be fair, they got a very, very good win against Morecambe. And I don't think that, yeah, that doesn't bode particularly well for us. I don't think it's somewhere that we've travelled to particularly well either. So it's going to be, I must admit, when I was looking at the running, this was not a game that I really thought was going to be, you know, a huge issue or anything like that. But come to look at it again now, you know, they're obviously only a few places below us. And yeah, it's looking like quite an important one. I think, you know, talking about playing for a draw and that kind of thing, I think this is probably a match where the management team might look to just get a point and head into the home game on the Monday, you know, having sort of kept their distance from Gillingham. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, their form's not great. They're 1-5 and so are we. So, you know, obviously they're there to be beaten. I think we beat them quite comfortably when we played them at our place back in October, I think it was. So, yeah, I think we, you know, on paper, I think we can beat any of the teams below us. But given that they had a good win yesterday, given that we didn't play that great, I'd be quite happy to just take a point and head into the Forest Green game with a point, to be honest.
Steve, I said the Wimbledon team didn't score many and didn't concede many. Gillingham are a little bit more extreme in that aspect. You know, if you look at the table, we're in fifth. We've scored 67 goals this year. They're in eighth. They've scored 39. Nobody has scored that few goals other than Forest Green, who are 24th and have scored one less. It's just got to be a case of we can't let them score because that seems to be the only way they're going to win. 1-0, keep it tight.
Yeah, obviously they scored three today, which is probably the first time this season they scored three. They're very much like Wimbledon, I think. They have been up and around there all season, despite their lack of goals. But they are massively inconsistent. I think they tend to win one, lose one. So with them winning yesterday, kind of open it's the time to lose one, in fairness. But it's a big time of season. Of course it is, with seven, eight games to go. But you generally find around Easter the movers and shakers sort of start to go. You know, two games in close proximity of time. You want to look at the negative point of this. If we lose both games over Easter, then potentially we could be out of playoffs. But if we pick, look at Henry's face. Well, it's true, isn't it? Like that it's where we are. But if we pick 4 points up, then you know I think that would be a good return in over the Easter period. So, yeah, this is obviously what you would think on paper a tougher game. But yeah, hopefully we can get something.
Tim, are you confident going in?
I wouldn't exactly say I'm confident, and I'm conscious of the fact that I've just criticised the management for settling for a point on Saturday. I'd probably settle for a point if offered it now. It's funny, Gillingham. I think like they sacked Neil Harris, didn't they? Because they didn't like his style of play, and then Stephen Clements came in and was trying to play some nice football and did rubbish. And I believe they've kind of reverted to type a little bit now, and they're playing Hawkins up front and going long. So I don't imagine it'll be an amazing game in terms of a spectacle. But Gillingham are one of the teams that I rank us against in my head with Doncaster and Wimbledon, you know, the three teams that came down with us 2 years ago. And it's funny, you know, we finished up bottom, obviously, that season and by quite some considerable distance. But if you look at that as like a mini league table, we finished top of it last season. Those other three teams finished well below us, and we're top of it again this season. We're, you know, Gillingham, Doncaster and Wimbledon are all behind us in the table. So if you put it in that context, since the relegation, we've actually done quite well against our, let's call them, peers. I mean, I don't know. If you offered me a draw, I would take it right now. I think 1-1 would do me. I just hope we can be a little bit more positive, even if we do set up with the idea of avoiding defeat. I hope we can at least cause them a few problems going forward.
Steve, score?
I'd like to see the positivity that we showed in the first half against Wimbledon. got an horrible feeling it's going to be 0-0.
And Henry.
But we'll take that.
I'm gonna go full positivity. Charlie Kirk is going to get his goal, and we're going to win 2-1.
Lovely stuff. I spoke to Eddie to get the Gillingham perspective. Hi, Eddie. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hiya.
We'll start, if we can, with the 2-0 home win for Crewe back in October. What were your thoughts on that from a Gillingham perspective?
I'll say we were slightly surprised by how good Crewe were. At the time, Crewe were still slightly flying under the radar, and now obviously most people think you're getting the playoffs. And so we were well beaten that day. I thought your high energy, high tempo game just absolutely did us on the day, and you were worthy winners. And when people ask me what was the game we've been most outplayed in this season, I say that was that Tuesday night at Crewe.
Pretty good stuff to hear. Now, Eddie, it's been quite a while. It was the start of October. What's happened since? Can you fill us in on the Gillingham season?
Well, the Crewe game was the last final straw for Neil Harris. And then we had a spot of quite a long time looking for a new manager, and our season drifted slightly. And then we brought in Stephen Clements, and he was charged with trying to get us to change our style of play in the middle of season with the players he'd inherited, which has proven to be harder, is a hard job anyway, but also we still have failed to sign any strikers who are fit and can actually hit a barn door. And so he's, I think, doing quite well considering what he's got at his disposal. But fans are a little bit frustrated that we still haven't solved the goal-scoring problem. The style of play has improved. We're creating more chances, just missing more chances. And there's definitely the direction of travel is correct. But I think people were hoping there'd be a slightly quicker turnaround from our average form in the middle of the autumn. The lack of goals is fundamental. I mean, our last two home games, we've drawn 1-1 against, you know, Grimsby, someone like that. And it's, we battered them in the second half. We hit the BR, hit the post, missed from 2 yards. And A, we can't really catch a break when the ball hits the post, but it goes somewhere else. But also, just the lack of confidence up front of when an opportunity falls. People are snatching at them, or people are hurried and not lacking confidence. So if we had a 20 goal a season striker, we'd be fighting for third and fourth, I think, but we aren't.
Now, Gillingham have 6 games left. They're currently in 8th. Is this an underachievement given the money that you guys have spent, or is this about par, bearing in mind, you know, the management changes and all those things you've just talked about?
A lot of fans were hoping to be top 7. I think a lot of people understood that teams like, you know, Wrexham or Stockport, whoever, Mansfield, have had decent sides for more than a couple of years, while we were sort of having to rebuild. And it's hard to sort of completely build a successful side immediately. And so I think a lot of fans were hoping for top 7, realistically. And it's still, you know, we're a point out of it, or a bit, thanks to a terrible goal difference. We'll just see. I mean, yesterday was fantastic in the fact we scored 3 goals away from home. Only the second time we've done that all season. So it was really enjoyable yesterday. It was incredibly windy at Morecambe, you'll be surprised to know. But it was just great that we came from behind twice in a game to win. We haven't done that since the pandemic. And the players obviously still utterly committed to it, and they nearly jumped into the crowd at the end. I mean, it's really fantastic. I just think we'll get let down by the goal scoring. So I think we'll probably maybe end where we are at 8th, and then people will be a bit frustrated. But a lot of people will just point at the recruitment and go, you know, we have changed the style. It is better. We just need someone to take the chances up front. And, you know, we've needed strikers for 2.5 years now. It was the priority in August, and it was a priority in January. What are the recruitment people doing, you know? Unfortunately, one of the guys we signed in January, Hurtado, is a Colombian guy. He played three sort of small cameo games and caused havoc. And everyone went, this is brilliant. This is what we needed. And then he got injured. And he's probably out for the season. There's slight hope he might come back because he was on loan. So right at the end of the season, but I doubt it. Which is such a blow, you know, anyone else to get injured, but, you know.
Who do you think that Crew fans should look out for then on Friday?
Well, it's more of our mid. I mean, we've been defending quite well, so we've been keeping it quite tight a lot of the time. So going forward at the moment, Dieng is in quite good form as a midfield player. He scored yesterday, but he seems to have blossomed a little bit under Clements. I think he's found a role that suits him better than how he was being played under Harris. It's more of the various players just finding a little bit more form from whether it's Lapsley or whoever. So Johnny Williams has been very busy in midfield recently. So I'd say it's our midfield that you have to keep an eye out for collectively. Because at the moment, we're often left with just Ollie Hawkins up front on his own. And, you know, he tries his best. But, I mean, he scored yesterday, but he's been missing a few chances as well.
Final question for me, Eddie. What's the score going to be on Good Friday?
Well, obviously, we're desperate for a win. I mean, really desperate for a win. But we've drawn a lot of home games 1-1 recently. I would not be amazed if it wasn't 1-1 again. Also, Crew, you know, have got a lot of results against us over the years. You know, a bit of a bogey side at one point. I know that changed slightly, but I just think that if Crew play like they did with the high energy, high press intensity that they did at your ground, I think we might be in trouble, to be honest, because I can see you scoring a couple of goals and we don't often score more than one at home. So, but I'll say 1-1.
Eddie, thank you so much for your time. Okay, just a couple of things from me, and I think one from Tim, and then we'll be done this week. Firstly, we're going to try and keep our schedule with the podcast as close to normal as possible over Easter. So what I'm saying is next week, start looking for the next week's pod Sunday morning instead of Monday morning. And then we can be back on normal terms the week after. So we'll be reviewing Gillingham Saturday for us to record, Sunday in terms of when it's out, and then Monday, the Forest Green game, will be reviewed on the next week. The other thing
is that people should look for their podcast and their Easter eggs at the same time then, Stu?
That is what I'm saying. Probably not in the same place, but yes, same time. The other thing that I'm excited to talk about is we're hoping to have in July, our first ever live show with an audience. We are in talks about putting it together with Sean, who runs Tom's Tap House in town. We're also hoping to get a member of the club down to join us on stage in the evening. Nothing's been 100% confirmed yet. We have got a date we're talking about. I'm not going to say what that date is until everything is set in stone. But please just be aware, if you're in Crewe or the Carew area in the middle of July, there might be an event going on in Crewe on a Saturday evening. Tim, I'm going to hand over to you for our last point today.
So, yeah, we finally, after three games and two rollovers, had a winner of the last man standing. So congratulations to Alistair Lawrence, who correctly predicted five games on the trot, finishing with Mansfield. I think he had a few nervous moments watching the Stockport game on Monday evening because he needed them not to win to be the winner. And they duly ballsed it up. So Alistair won the £692.50 first prize. From our perspective, we will start again. The games on Good Friday are our next round of games. So get your entries in at the usual place by emailing me at the Railwaymen Podcast LMS at gmx.com address.
Yeah, so we are going to run it again, starting with Good Friday. Tim, can you just remind me, everyone else, where did the other half of that money go?
The other half of that money, good point. The other half of that money went to the Crewe women football team. So hopefully they can put that to good use next year.
Yeah, I think we'll be looking to do that again as we go forward with the competition. Just a little bit of helping them out with whatever it is that they need. But that will do us for today. So Tim, Steve, Henry, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you as ever for listening. We will be back on Sunday next week. Until then, goodbye. Dang a dang dang, ding a dong ding, blue moon.